Final hour for the week. Mail It In Friday continues. TSN 1050 now on TSN 2. Pretty sure there's a social experiment going on in the washroom down here at TSN.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was in there around 3:30, and there was a thermos, like a high-end thermos, right by the sink.
Yeah.
And I just figured some guy had left it there and was going Steph Curry at that moment and was going to return to it and go his separate ways. I just went in there again. It's still there. And I feel like there might be cameras in there to see what kind of a gremlin will look at that thermos and say, I'm taking it.
No, you know what you do? It's just put it in the garbage.
That's I'm not touching it. I wouldn't touch anything in that washroom, period.
Well, you have to take a leak and then go wash your hands.
Well, obviously, but why would I pick up somebody else's thermos? But I think it's someone who set up this experiment waiting for, like, Sean Levine or someone to walk in and say, I don't think anyone's going to claim this.
Take a drink out of it?
Or just take it themselves. Because you know if it was on, like, a table out here, after a couple hours, that thing is gone.
I always go through that table and throw everything out on it. Because if it's on there, you obviously don't care about it.
Well, someone's going to take it. It's like a flea market here, only there's no price tag on anything.
All I'm saying is if that was me and I noticed it there for a long time, I'd just put it in the garbage.
Is there anything that would be in a washroom for a couple hours that you notice no one is claiming that you'd say I'll take?
A stack of 10,000, like hundreds.
Well, outside of cash.
Okay.
We're talking like real items.
Not in the bathroom. Like
cash is it.
No, like if
that's
it's in the
problem,
hallway,
man.
Like I'm on the road a lot. If I walk by a room a couple times in room service and there's something there that I lay eyes on, I may take a bite.
Yeah, see, you guys are gremlins yourself, man. You guys get on the road and you turn into different types of people.
Would you, like if your neighbor...
Oh, it was my signature move. The chicken wings left out late night and I stroll in. Saves you an order.
So someone else's garbage is what you're saying.
No, but if there's a bread basket that hasn't been opened, like they haven't flapped it open, I'll take a piece of bread.
How do you know that thing wasn't flapped open?
See, that's the thing. You think that somebody opened it up, grabbed one, wiped their rear end with it, and then put it back in.
Precisely. I'm very cynical when it comes to that stuff.
For a 3 a.m. troll to... No, what it is if there's a couple leftover fries or something, like... You could take a... It depends on what... You're not taking a bite of somebody's sandwich. What you're doing is if there is... Or how about crackers that are completely closed? Somebody's had soup and the saltines.
Well, yeah, of course. If they're packaged, that's a different story.
I'd have no problem with that.
If food has hit in the open air and it was technically owned by somebody else...
Okay, but let's be honest.
I'm not going down that road.
It's 2:30 in the morning. You've had 30 Ryan Coke. Do you think you care about, like, germs in the hallway for...
Not even a question.
And he's saying that with conviction.
You guys, like, man, I'm telling you.
Like, I don't know. Nothing in the bathroom. Like,
that's,
you know,
what I'm
my
saying.
Philosophy. Like, I don't even like meeting people in the bathroom and the stop and chats
no,
and that.
Can't happen. I'm going to see some guy walk around with that thermos next week,
yeah,
and it's going to change the way I feel about that person.
Which bathroom? The faraway one?
Yeah, the faraway.
I'll go look to see if it's there next break.
All right, next break, go check it out. You're going to bring it in here and put it right on the desk. I know exactly what you're going to do.
For sure.
All right, Dreg's coming up here in a moment from Nashville. It got ugly early and often last night. A lot of people are, you know, taking runs at me because I keep complaining about how these games have not been entertaining. And they're saying, dude, what's not entertaining about watching individual greatness? Which I understand.
Yeah.
Sid put on a clinic last night. Gino was great. Phil was great. But that's not why I tune in. I don't tune in for individual greatness. If I wanted that, I would watch tennis or I would watch golf. And I certainly don't tune in just so one team can perform extremely well. I'm looking for competition.
Right.
I'm looking for a close game. I'm looking for back and forth. I'm looking for two teams that are actually engaged and motivated to win the game, and I just didn't see it last night. Like I said off the top, I'm not kidding, man. I did not watch a second of the third period. It would have been a complete waste of my time. Nothing happened in the third. Like I asked you guys, sell me on why I should not have tuned out.
Right.
And you didn't have an answer.
No.
There's nothing.
You're right, man. It was basically a formality, and I think it was like, if you saw the people on the bench, the coaches, the players for the Nashville Predators... And Bob McKenzie touches on this a lot, where he talks to coaches, and they don't believe there's any momentum from game to game, that it all grows its own identity and its own life of itself. it's tough to think that you can't think there's some momentum going from game to game with that performance. I know they're going back to Nashville, but that was an ass-whooping, man.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And good. You got to be thinking.
Well, here's the only thing I would say, and what I would be preaching if I was Nashville.
And just one other thing, Brian, as a player, and I'm sure Jamie knows that players thought like this, as a player, you don't want one of your, like, you got two or three thoughts going into a game. You don't want one of them to be, what the hell's our goalie going to do tonight?
Yeah.
Well, I think
and
that,
I'm sure the goalie's probably got in his head, yeah, what the hell are these bozos going to do tonight because they were garbage.
But you're right. Like, one guy can really obviously change the dynamic of the game. But it was almost like, remember games 3 and 4, especially game 3, everyone was like, what's going to go on with Pekka Rinne here? Because he had had two subpar games in Pitt. And you're like, this is a sweep, or is this guy going to get it? And the minute he started making saves, you could see Nashville's confidence build, right?
See, I wouldn't be concerned with him in Game 6. I would be terrified, though, if they get back to Game 7. Yeah. Because Pekka Rinne has proven.
But now it's a one-off. Like, that's the thing.
It is a one-off, but, man, he's 0-6 with some of the most bloated stats you've ever seen in your life.
If it goes 7, it almost would tilt towards Nashville, because we're all expecting Rennie to be a gas can. You're expecting, like, that's the scary one. I think Pitt's got to finish him off here on Sunday. I really do.
I think they're in tough because of the building, because right, of the way Nashville plays at home, but also, if you can recall what happened in the Ottawa series. Game 5, Pittsburgh beat Ottawa, I think, 7-0.
Yeah.
I remember at that point, we're like, this is embarrassing. Like, that was where Guy Boucher came out and ripped into his team and said this, that, and the other. Ottawa won game 6. Now, it's because Craig Anderson, I believe, stood on his head. I think Pittsburgh more than likely deserved to win that game. I'd have to go back and watch it again, which I'll clearly never do. But they bounced back.
Yeah.
They got smoked in game 5, and I think we were all having the same conversation. How did they possibly get back into the series? They went home, they won game 6.
Yep.
Now, they end up losing in game 7, but it was a close game. Overtime winner from Kunitz.
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm Nashville, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at and saying, it has happened before. To your point, or the argument about momentum, does it actually exist?
Right.
Ottawa found a way for it not to exist 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But Nashville should be embarrassed. I mean, they were awful. They didn't show up. There was not one player on that team that was impressive, that looked as if they were even in it.
But I like I say, if I'm Nashville, I'll take my chances in a game 7.
Sure. Anybody would. You're talking about the cup final. I mean,
right. Just because, you know, you never know. Matt Murray stinks. They score early. You get a 5-on-3 because of two blunders or a major penalty where a guy gives somebody a shove and guy loses balance and awkwardly goes into the boards. Like, when you've got a coin flip, I really don't know if home or away really factors in. But I just think Pittsburgh, their last couple games, I know they lost game 4, but they've started to look like, all right, like, we know Nashville's all over us, but we got to find a way to generate chances. They did that again last night. And, and if they can get that recipe going again, we're going to see a better game in Nashville, and now it's a coin flip again.
Well, we had a Jerry's a couple weeks ago. How will the Nashville crowd react to Bettman handing out the cup?
Yeah, that's
right. If Nashville won game 6 to win the cup.
Yeah.
And you and I, Noodles, we said we don't think he'd get booed. You were very confident that Jerry would get booed. But I'll tell you what, he's definitely getting booed if Pittsburgh wins. Like, if Pittsburgh wins the cup in that building, Bettman is in trouble.
Yeah, you're right. And Pittsburgh won 4 cups in...
He gets booed wherever. It's going to be really bad, though.
Right, because they'll be, like, legitimately furious.
How about the dope last night who threw the fish on the ice, like, what, 3 minutes in? And they got the gate.
I thought I read that was, like, the kicker, the Steelers, like, kicker or something like that.
Come on.
Steph, look that up. Find out who was the guy who threw that onto the ice. Because you'll notice he didn't get arrested. They just said, you're out.
Yeah.
The Preds fan got kicked out and arrested or whatever. But I think that might have been the Steelers kicker. I don't know, man. Maybe I read that wrong. But let's head to Nashville now, catch up with our Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance. And here is Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
I'm standing with my face, like, pasted up against the glass of the window of my hotel room with one leg in the air and my right arm extended, because apparently that's the only way, according to Steph, that I'm going to get proper cell service to stay on the segment.
Oh, this is great. That's what I want to hear right out of the gate. It's 100% going to drop.
No, no.
It's falling. It's going to drop. Good stuff. Anyway, we've been breaking down what happened last night, and it's quite the outcome if you're Pittsburgh, man. They were very impressive, but I just don't understand how Nashville in a game like that performs like that. They were abysmal. Was there one positive you could take out of that game if you're Nash?
No, not really, other than I suppose they, you know, stood up for one another when it was too late, but, you know, that's a moral victory, if at all. And this time of year, that stuff doesn't matter at all. So, you know, I'm in Nashville, and I went to the Nashville Preds availability mid-afternoon, and, I mean, they're saying all the right things. They're confident of home ice because of what they did in Game 3 and 4, when maybe many thought that it would be a 5 or at most a 6-game series. Well, that's where we're at going into Game 6. And, you know, unless they play 100 times better than what they did last night, I mean, it's unlikely that the series is going to go beyond Game 6, but I'm not willing to count them out. I mean, honestly, after the first two games of the series, I thought it might be a short series. You know, Pittsburgh didn't play well, and they were still up 2 Cobb. So Nashville deserves at least our respect for clawing back and evening the series, and maybe they do it again on Sunday.
Well, I think Pekka-Rinne, when you look at the way he's played at home, you obviously have to be confident if you're Nashville. But I
dregs your one thought. Goes to Game 7, you'd have a thought about Rinne.
I would play Rinne in Game 7, but I kind of feel like Laviolette may have had the conversation before the game last night and just said to himself, this leash is so short, he's done after the first if he gives up more than 2. And that's what happened last time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with all due respect to Saras, I mean, he's not even close in comparison. And you're right. I mean, you're talking about desperate measures if that's what you have to get into. But, you know, without Pekka-Rinne, do they get by the Anaheim Ducks in the Western Conference Final? I don't think they do. I mean, he stood on his lid, and it's almost inexplicable the way he's played in Pittsburgh as compared to the way he played in Game 4. I thought Crosby was the best player on the ice, but just marginally ahead of Pekka-Rinne, who was stellar in that win over the Pittsburgh Penguins to even the series. So he's got to figure it out, but I don't think that there's anyone who doubts that he has the capability of figuring out associated with the Preds.
Dregs, you know Jimmy Rutherford well, and I keep thinking this, like, if they manage to win again, like, is it a foregone conclusion that Fleury is going this year? Because I know how loyal Jimmy is. I just for some reason would think that he would somehow try to keep him there just out of loyalty and love for what the guy brings to the table.
You know what, O'Dog, you're right. But I think beyond that, it is an appreciation for the fact that this guy is a fierce competitor. He's a Stanley Cup champion, maybe a 2-time Stanley Cup champ, 3-time, in fact. And he still wants to win. He wants that crease. He knows he's the number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. So, you know, Rutherford is going to do what's right, and he's going to find a spot for Marc-Andre Fleury that is going to suit him best. Now, in the perfect world, he'd send him to a place where, you know, he makes that team, if not a Stanley Cup contender, certainly a playoff contender. That's why I've always been a little bit leery of the Vegas fit, but that's up to Vegas. I mean, it's likely that Pittsburgh would leave him unprotected, or they'll work a deal out one way or another. You know, Vegas is going to have their shot at him. But, you know, I also wonder, and Noodles, maybe you weigh in on this too. You know, there's much goaltending options that, you know, George McPhee can take a hard look at it. You know, you've got Ranta from the New York Rangers. You've got Mike Condon, who's an unrestricted free agent. I know that their resumes don't compare to Marc-Andre Fleury, but, you know, it's something that I would think they'd have to consider, given that they're probably looking for a goalie who's going to grow with the team.
Yeah, you're right. My only thing is if I'm McPhee, I in listening to Brad Treliving's comments yesterday, thinking that maybe he can get a player through Vegas, that's if you can get a hold of Marc-Andre Fleury and flip him for assets, yeah, That's where I'm looking at is, okay, Calgary yeah. Flames, you want them? Like, what are you willing to pay? And you go to the teams, is Winnipeg willing to have a mentor for Connor Hellebuck? That's what I'm looking. That's why I'm really excited for this expansion draft, because I think there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing here that we're going to be, Dregs, you're going to be ultimately very busy, but I think for us on the show, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know what, fellas, just for point of interest, we do a lot of Winnipeg Jets games on TSN. Goaltending's been an issue. That's not a secret. If they were to land Marc-Andre Fleury and a couple of other pieces, why can't that be a team that contends, certainly, for a playoff spot, obviously, who knows? Look at Nashville and what they accomplished this year and the bold moves that David Poile had to make. Shovel Day Off is going to have to go down that path. It probably does start with goaltending, and if Marc-Andre Fleury is going to Winnipeg or is willing to go to Winnipeg, that makes the Jets a lot better.
That would be an interesting spot. We talk more about Calgary acquiring Fleury than Winnipeg.
Well,
right? Because of Hellebuck, more than likely.
Yeah, Hellebuck's got really, for me, big upside, but he's not there yet. He's got to grow as a goaltender. But if you could bridge that gap and have somebody
I don't think Winnipeg, Dregs, you can weigh in. Enough's enough about they got kids coming,
Yeah.
Like, no other organization gets to keep saying that year after year. It's like now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah. No, you're bang on. And look, there are some who believe that, the development of those kids wasn't hampered, but it was stressed last year because of the workload that they had. And, they didn't have the right bodies to occupy the penalty kill in certain situations and all that. But I know Mark Chipman, the owner of the Winnipeg Jets, pretty well, at least part owner. David Thompson, of course, has a big piece as well. These are competitive guys, real competitive guys. Not that management in Winnipeg isn't. Shevelyov wants to win as much as any. Yeah, he's just conservative, and he works with a budget. He doesn't necessarily work with a salary cap. But I think that management ownership recognizes the fan base there is getting weary, and I think that they're in a position and they're ready now to make some bold moves.
Dregs, I'm not sure if you're in the voting for Conn Smythe or not, but if the Pittsburgh Penguins win in six, who would be your top three? And if Nashville wins in seven, it's weird for me. Pekka Rinne seems to be in and out of the Conn Smythe conversation after every Pittsburgh game. Does he make it? If Nashville wins in seven, is Rinne your guy? And if Pittsburgh wins in six or seven, like who would you like your top three?
Well, I haven't been asked yet, and I probably won't because I missed the second round and most of the third. Being in the world at the World Hockey Championship, and then you have to pay close attention all four rounds. If Pittsburgh were to win, I don't know, guys. Like Crosby has really played his way back into the conversation for me. He has, and Malkin dipped out, but his numbers justify a consideration. And Jake Gensel, what a great story he is. Now, in saying that, he cooled a little bit from his torrid scoring pace, but you still have to be in that conversation. So I just feel like Crosby deserves the edge based on Game 4 and Game 5. And if the Penguins are going to win, and let's assume that Nashville wins Game 6, I certainly wouldn't bet a nickel against Sidney Crosby in a Game 7 environment. And if that's the case, then he would get my consummate vote. And if Nashville wins, then it gets more difficult because, again, you have to weigh the playoffs overall. And Pekka Rinne was tremendous coming into the Stanley Cup Final. Not so good in Game 1, not so good in Game 2, better in Game 3, fantastic in Game 4, and then obviously last night was a setback in Game 5. But from a Preds perspective, I still think it's Pekka Rinne.
Yeah, I think he'd still more than likely be in the driver's seat. We'll see what happens Sunday night. Enjoy it down there, Dregs.
Hey, boys, have a good weekend. I'm off to Tootsie's.
All right, man. Just stick the knife right in our back on the way out. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for Big Dreams and Everyday Budgets. Some news out of Philly. Shane Gostisbehere got a 6-year deal, $4.5 million. A couple people tweeting in asking us to compare and contrast that contract to the Zaitsev contract. The Leafs gave Zaitsev 7 years at $4.5 million. Different types of players. Ghost, the Ghost has been in the league for 2 years. People look back on his rookie year where he was nominated for the Rookie of the Year.
Me and Jamie were talking about that I mean, if we were garbage our second years, there would be discussions of can he handle the rigors of the NHL. And nowadays,
yeah,
you're
that's what the cap does, man. The cap, right?
This guy was in and out of the press box. He was talking about sophomore
jinx
and not playing well. It's got a massive deal, man.
And that's the scary thing here with Zaitsev, is what if he has that year next year, but you've already committed to him? Yeah. Like, that's why I was shocked.
Dude,
they gave him 7 years.
Gamble nowadays.
It's it is. And, you know, Zaitsev, he's a great find. He had a really good year. Yeah, he's a good player.
There's five guys in the league I want to sign for 7-year contracts. That's it. Because I know it's going to be there for 7 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it comes down to the cap manipulation, though. Right, like that's the era we live in. We'll give you more years, but in order for that to happen, you've got to give us less of a cap hit. And it's all about the formula and trying to get all the numbers in. And that's why Gostisbehere gets 4.5 over 6 years, because they're banking on him playing better than $4.5 million per year by years 3, 4, 5, and 6. And the same thing with Zaitsev here in Toronto.
Well, and I look at Gostisbehere. He had 39 points last year on a down year where he had some healthy scratches and stuff. Like, 46 points the year before in 64 games. Like, the guy is a point producer. I was telling you guys off air, he reminds me a little bit of how Jake Gardner was early on in his career. Really inconsistent defensively, inconsistent in his decision making on the ice. He's only 24 years old.
Which is older than I think a lot of people would expect, because he was a college player.
Because he came out. But like, it's not like Zaitsev is 26. And I think Gostisbehere offensively is a better player than Zaitsev. Zaitsev is more well-rounded. I think Zaitsev plays a harder game, a more physical game, more consistent game. Can Gostisbehere be a Jake Gardner type? I don't know where that comparison falls in. What's Jake make, 4?
Yeah, I think he makes around 4-1.
5. Yeah, so I mean, and they bought, I believe, 3 years of his unrestricted free agency. So you got to pay a price for that. Obviously, Ron Hextall sees him in the future for his organization.
I would think.
To make that type of commitment. I personally think that this year, Gostisbehere is a lot closer to what he's like as opposed to last year where he first came on the scene. So if you like what you see with Gostisbehere and a little bit of growth as far as responsibility and game rounding out
his
a little
defensive
bit.
Game.
At the end of the day, with any player or anything, it's like buying a house or selling one. It's worth what someone's going to give it.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They just say, "We think you're worth that. You want it? Yep." And mm-hmm. You got a deal.
It's a great contract.
I mean,
regardless of where he ends up playing, he's still getting 6 years at $4.5 million per year. That's a lot of money, man.
Yeah,
it's a lot of security. So, as for Zaitsev, like you said, Noodles, different type of player. I'm still surprised they gave him 7 years, but 4.5, that's around what I would expect him to get paid just based on the way he played this past year. Future headlines coming up, brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Jays in action tonight in Seattle. A lot of Canadians pouring across the border. This always feels like a home game. It's weird to watch them play a home game at 10 p.m. in Seattle. But there will be thousands of Canadians, a lot of people from Vancouver and BC getting down there. So we'll tee that up in future headlines. Tee up game 4 of the NBA Finals.
Yep.
And we'll see what else.
See what shakes out.
The secretary has in mind this week.
Ooh.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. I was mentioning the Kickers. Or the Steelers kicker. The kicker Steeler earlier this hour, Chris Boswell, he got tossed from the game last night, but for banging on the glass.
Yeah, like, that's a little...
Why would you toss a Pens fan for banging on the glass?
And a guy, are you talking about he was a player for the Steelers?
He is the kicker for the Steelers.
And
he
they kicked him out.
In the building last night, on the glass, and he was banging on the glass, and the security went up to him and said, "You gotta go."
That's hilarious.
That is embarrassing is what it is. This hour of Mail-In and Friday is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer, and it's brand new beer, Lighter Up, a flavorful light lager that's crisp, clean, and crushable. Lighter Up, now available at select Copa groceries and beer stores. You guys ready for future headlines?
Sure.
There's Subban with a shot. He scores!
Or
you can't just play well. You have to be great to win at this point in time, and we have to be better, and we will be.
Or
Tristan Thompson finds James. A lot of thunderous dunks here in the opening period.
Or,
you know, we made a lot of mistakes, and I pride myself on not turning the ball over, and I did it too much.
Overdrive, future headlines.
Brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet us at Overdrive 1050 or text us 105050, your most outrageous future headline every Friday for your chance to win free pizza courtesy of our friends at 2-for-1 Pizza.
You guys know how this works. Pick one or the other. Noodles sometimes picks his own.
Well,
deal,
I try and create my own.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
LeBron goes down swinging, putting up his biggest numbers of the series in game four. Or not even LeBron shows up for game four as the Cavs hand Golden State 16-0.
Wow.
I think LeBron shows up tonight.
No, I think it's all over.
You don't even think LeBron's going to care?
Define what,
dude,
what
saw,
not showing up.
Did you see the body language? He was like, these guys are the best team I've ever seen. Their coach was like, best team I've ever seen.
Okay, but what is not showing up for LeBron? 20 points?
Yeah, obviously 20
the guy's
points.
Physically,
you know,
going to show up.
Well, of course. But, you know, this guy's been averaging a triple-double. He had, what, 38, 39 points in the previous game. Anything substantially less than that would be LeBron just saying, I'm here because I have to be
he
here.
He gets 30-plus points tonight.
You're calling your shot?
Yeah.
I think he shows up, too. I think he understands he has to continue to put forth a performance because his legacy is always under attack.
Exactly. I just think it's going to be an absolute smoke show.
Well, I think it will be, too, but I think LeBron will do his part. He may fade late in the game.
Right.
But he's not going to roll in there throwing up bricks and not attacking the rim. I think he'll be motivated early, probably fades later
Let's
in the game.
Let's see how it goes, yeah.
All right.
The Cavs blow it up this summer, keeping LeBron and Kyrie, but changing the surrounding pieces. Or the Cavs bring back the same cast of characters, hoping that 2016-17 season is one off of greatness for the Warriors. I have no idea what my secretary wrote.
That was a well-written line.
That's very well-written.
I have access to it. Do you want me to read?
Yeah, you read it.
The Cavs being... Uh-oh, I did. That was screwed up.
Dude, I'm telling you, my secretary, she can throw me a spike
Come
ball.
On, secretary.
Wake up,
I think
there.
It was supposed to read, the Cavs bring back the same cast of characters, hoping that the 2016-17 season was a one-off of greatness for the Warriors. That sounds great. But if it's not written properly, I mean, come on. You're Ron Burgundy, man. Whatever's on the page, you're going to read.
I'm going by the teleprompter here.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
No, I think they're going to...
Or what about the word after the Cavs?
No, I know. That's a chop job.
It's a chop job, and it just...
Well, yeah, that's a shank
anyway,
off the
Anyway, you know what we're getting big
we know
picture
where we're
at.
Going.
Okay, are they
going to
come back?
Same group or different group?
Let me weigh in.
You go ahead.
Different group.
You think so?
LeBron's looking at this Kevin Love and this Tristan Thompson and saying, not gonna cut it. Gonna
When's
have
LeBron's
to
deal up?
I think he's got another year where they expect him to stick around, but after next year is when he's expected to potentially walk.
He may go to the owner and say, we're not good enough to go against that team.
Of course, if they get crushed...
I think he will. Yeah, I think he will. Listen, this is deceptive because it's not only going to be LeBron and Kyrie. It's not like J.R. Smith, Love, Tristan Thompson, Iman Shumpert. Right. Like, they're not all going to leave. But I expect activity out of Cleveland. I think this was such a rude awakening. And this is really embarrassing for Cleveland.
Yep.
They were 12-1. They've been in the finals 3 years in a row. They're getting spanked. I think I changes are coming in Cleveland. Yeah. I think LeBron and Kyrie will stick around.
I definitely do as well.
But beyond that, I think LeBron will be in that office with that owner tomorrow saying, you better snap to it.
Exactly.
Make something happen here.
Well, my secretary's got... Just listen to what my secretary's got for me here. The Leafs are rumored to be willing to trade anyone outside of the Big Three kids to acquire a defenseman this summer. Or word leaks that the Leafs are not willing to trade much more than picks and mid-legal prospects.
Mid
for
what?
Help on the back end.
Mid-legal? Shouldn't that be mid-level?
You would think, but I caught it.
Secretary, what is up with her today? Lazy. Mailing it in on a Friday afternoon.
Wow. Have an idea.
Eckersley is right. All right, so it's supposed to be what? Picks and mid-level prospects for help on the back end? Okay, so we get the gist of it.
By the way, picks and mid-level prospects doesn't get you crap. Look at what Edmonton had to give up to get Larson. So you can take your picks and mid-level prospects.
Yeah.
You go ahead, but you're not...
Boy, you're not going to get anything of significance for that. You can still make a deal.
You're going to get 5 minutes worth of material on this show for that type of player.
What about JVR? He's not a... That's a massive, you know... And I'm not linking him to a trade. I'm just saying if that's something that's in play.
That would be rumored to be willing to trade anyone outside of the big three.
Yeah, I think you've got to...
You think they'll do that?
You've got to put that in the mix, but... Doesn't mean that you're going to do it, but you certainly have to be willing to wheel and deal and listen to people.
I think they will.
Just what if it's Cap and...
And I would consider him more than a mid-level prospect.
What if it's Connor Brown?
Exactly. Connor Brown is an interesting guy to value. Like, what kind of value do you put on him? 20-goal scorer, rookie year, kills penalties, power play, kind of a utility guy, can go up and down your lineup, never going to lead you anywhere, like on his own.
I think they value him a lot.
I think they should value him a lot.
Yeah.
But to what extent talking about what is available?
Not a lot of times you get a depth guy that can rip home 20 goals. A lot of times a depth guy, he finishes the year with 4 and the team will be like, we're happy with what he did. This guy can go out there and score a goal. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest thing to do in the league now.
Yeah, I know, but you got to be careful. Richard Ponick scored 20. P.A. Parento scored 20. Like,
obviously, you can't overvalue.
You just got to be cognizant. Yeah,
for sure.
But he was a rookie, and that's not...
He does more than what those guys do.
Right.
Parento scored 20 because he was on the power play and sat there and ripped them home on a brutal team. He kills penalties. I think he's pretty sound defensively. I think he's a pretty good skater. You know, like, I think he brings more than just the 20.
Yeah.
So I don't look at him as simply a 20-goal scorer, and that's the only reason why you like him as a player.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting they wouldn't trade him. I think they would trade him in a heartbeat if they felt like it made sense. But I think it might cost you a little bit more to include Connor Brown than what it would have a year ago, clearly. Because I think they like what he's done. I think you have to appreciate what he's brought.
Right.
It can't only be the three kids. Like, you need more players than just Matthews, Marner, and Nylander.
Absolutely.
So I would be cognizant. I would be careful with trading a guy like Connor Brown.
Justin Smoke continues to crush the ball, leading to a guaranteed All-Star selection, or reality sets in for Smoke as he runs into a massive slump, costing him All-Star selection.
I am thinking reality is going to set in at some point.
Give the guy the positive nod. Really?
Listen, 17 home runs, that's positive enough.
Yeah.
This guy, I think his career mark is like 21 or something like that. He's going to blow that out of the water. But do I think he's going to have like a spectacular June, like the rest of the month, the next 3 or 4 weeks?
I'm sticking positive. There's something about the guy. Doesn't he have kind of that look on his, like, he looks like a good dude that likes to have a good time?
Yeah, apparently he is actually like a really laid back kind of guy. And
so
I give him full credit.
I give him full credit, too. I want to see it keep it going.
For the Jays' sake, I hope it does happen. But
I'm going to give him credit, but here's the thing. He's having a season. Mm-hmm. So when you're having a season, everything positively happens to you.
But it's a long season, and you can have 2 seasons within 1 season.
Correct.
Again, I've referenced this throughout the week. Talked to Michael Saunders about that last year. Halfway through the year last year for the Jays, he got voted into the All-Star game. Like, he was putting up massive numbers. The second half, it got so bad, they said, get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Let him walk. Right?
Yeah,
you're right. I need to see more out of Smoke before I fully commit to this guy being lights out all year.
Pekka Rinne goes Lloyd Christmas in Game 6 and totally redeems himself as the Preds force a Game 7, or Pekka Rinne finally struggles at home, putting the cup on a platter for the Pens in Game 6. Man, my secretary, she's getting really wordy with some of these.
The cup on a platter for the Pens in Game 6. That's like a Dr. Zeus line.
Yeah.
I think that I'm going to start
doing it yourself.
Yeah,
you might have.
Go right to the source, forget the secretary. All right, we'll pencil you in for next Friday.
Done.
So at 6:30, we're just going to say you're up, and you're going to have them already.
Here's the thing. Yeah. He's already pressed the button.
Don't don't be shy with a reminder.
No, not happening. Yeah. Absolutely not.
You better get me a reminder.
Okay.
I think they're somewhere in the middle.
You think he's going to give up like three, but
be okay?
No, I think
he could play well, but they could still lose.
I think depends when 4-2. Game over.
So that's giving up three with an empty netter. That I don't know if that's on a platter. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I kind of think...
It's tough to come back from getting an ass beaten like that. Like, that's a...
Yeah, I don't know. I have not been able to predict anything properly in this playoffs because they've been so, like, crazy.
I think he's going to have an off game.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he's due at home. I think now the pressure's really on him.
No, he's got a mental struggle to deal with. He knows that, like, I'm a major factor in this whole...
Yeah, my team hates my guts because I've been pulled twice. And, like, again, I think it is different. Game 6, cup in the building, pit, closeout time, then game 3. Hey, even right. if I play poorly tonight,
got a little life
series
after.
Isn't over.
Playing for their
and
lives.
Full credit to him, played really well. Although he's kind of shaky early game 3.
Yes.
Shaky in the first period, but got it together and got rolling, yeah. and then played great in game 4. But I'm kind of with you now. I feel like Pitt probably gets it done on Sunday.
I don't know. I can't predict
this whole series has been strange, man. Like we've noticed this and we've said it day in, day out. Feels like you take a 180 after every single game in terms of your prediction, in terms yeah. of how you feel about it. Because every game's a blowout.
I can't say it enough. This has gone on too long. The two games in between games and all that. I know it's for TV and everything, but it's same with the NBA. I'm sorry. It's too long. It's dragged out, and it's...
Oh, game 7 is Wednesday.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, a week, like...
They have 2 days off, play a game, 2 days off, play a game.
It's terrible. I told you.
Thanks.
Like, I can't imagine the players really want that either. Like, they're probably ready to go to Vegas or get out of town. Like, win, lose, or draw. Let's call it a day here. It's been a fun season.
I'm telling you, it's too long. I've complained about it.
Would we be saying that, though, if the Leafs were in this spot?
Personally, yes, because I want to see the games every second night so you can get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like. I like the rhythm. I like knowing every other night you're playing. I don't.
Old school, man. 20 games in 40 nights.
Just play.
Old school. But I was thinking about it the other day when I was, like, yesterday driving in, thinking, okay, we're going to be teeing up game 5.
Yeah.
It's June 8th. But if it was the Leafs playing... And you've been on this ride.
You wouldn't care.
Like, I think I would be honestly saying, hey, drag it out as long as you want.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a Leaf game in the Cup final. It's because it's not your team.
You're right.
Right? And if you're objective and you don't have a team, even more so, you're like, all right, it's been a long
enough
ride.
That's what I'm saying. I don't. June 1st, it should be done. There should be a rule that June 1st is game 7 of the Stanley Cup final if it goes that far. That should be the rule. Okay. And then you work backwards from that.
Game 4 NBA Finals tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Tip off at 9. Pregame starting at 8. We'll get to our best bets and 3 stars next. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Under the number in the Jays game tonight. I'm on the Dodgers at home and Golden State to win by at least 6. Throw down 20, you can score 82. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Jays in Seattle tonight. Mariners fans hate when the Jays roll through because...
Yeah, they don't have a say because the Jays fans take over the whole field.
I love it.
Just dominate.
I do too.
It's so good. It's so good. The Jays need a big weekend, man. Last time they played this team, 4-game series at the Dome, swept them.
I think Seattle's just come off 5 in a row or something.
Seattle was expected to be a pretty good team, and you're right. I mean, they're starting to hum here a little bit. They're a game under 500. So the Jays are looking at Seattle thinking, okay, they're under 500. We just took 4 out of 4 back home. But people look at the Jays and say, you're 2 games under 500. So, you know, what do you really expect? They're coming off a bit of an ugly series in Oakland, so they really need to bounce back tonight. You guys ready for the 3 stars?
Yes.
Overdrive, 3 stars of the day.
Well, it's not Steph, I'll tell you that.
You're not going to put the secretary in
there?
I'm
going to go first star 1A, Sidney Crosby, and 1B, my secretary, who I still have faith in, and I don't know if I'm really ready to fire.
I figured you might circle back on the old set.
I haven't made it. Just, I'm going Lou on this. I want to take some time.
Okay. Nah, you're going to survey
the scene. Because I need her at times, but I did not like her today.
Right. I thought you might have jumped the gun on the old future headlines routine next week, but we'll see where we're at.
We'll see where
this time next week. Noodles, you got anybody?
How about the weather? Let's have it hold up here this weekend.
It's supposed to be pretty hot, which I like.
But there was like a flash flood.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly earlier this afternoon.
Smarten up.
Yeah, smarten up here.
Let's get some good weather.
Mother Nature has been gutless over the past couple of months. First star or third star, whatever it is, easy one for me. We talked about Bobby Valentine earlier.
Yes.
18th anniversary of him coming out with the mustache and the glasses.
Yeah.
Today marks the 10th anniversary, if you can believe it, of the Sopranos finale.
Really?
Wow. 10 years ago tonight.
Wow.
Tony went dark.
Are you going to...
I might get back into Sopranos.
I was just going to say, go back and watch that.
Just in time for about the fourth quarter tonight.
Yeah.
Mix in some Entourage episodes. And the Sopranos and Seinfeld, probably the only two shows where I can literally watch any episode at any time.
And you're all right with
it. And I'm okay. Like, Entourage gets brutal at the end of the series. It's awful. Yeah. The Wire, I'm a big fan, but there's a couple episodes where you're like, nah, I could take it or leave it. Literally every single episode of The Sopranos is brilliant.
Yeah, and same with Seinfeld.
And same with Seinfeld. You can watch either one of them at any time.
I agree.
So there you have it. All right, boys. Chris behind the glass, shout out
way
to
way to work, Chris.
He's the man. Mullen mailing it in.
Him and Larry are just goon right now, I bet you.
Just blind drunk. We're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.